Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
But you know what Paul quoted from the Old Testament, if I can remember the quotation, "Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them." So he's talking about the natural man just has no capacity to understand what this is all about. But what? God has revealed them to us. How? By His Spirit. That's what it takes. It's going to have to be a revelation to the heart for any of this that I'm saying this morning to make any sense at all. God's going to have to make it real in here to where we understand that though we cannot see this kingdom, though we cannot see our Savior, though we cannot see what is to come with these natural eyes, it's more real. It is becoming more real than what we do see and what we touch. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. God is calling us out of one kingdom into another. Thank God. So Jesus was a perfect example of someone who went to paid the ultimate price, and yet he did it with a joy in his heart. Praise God. What an example for me. Because, you get older and you get tired and, okay, got to put one foot in front of another. All right, oh, poor me. Nobody here would ever do that, right? So you can just help me. You can straighten me out on this. Everybody here does that and feels that way. Everybody here, if the right thing in your life were touched today, would you be joyful about it? Boy, it's quiet. I have a habit of saying things that make people go quiet, but that's not me. That's the Lord saying it, and He's saying it to me just as much as He is to you. I'm so thankful for God's mercy and God's mercy to every one of us. I thought about a scripture again that we use so many times, but it really comes into play here. And that's in Philippians chapter 4. Because it's not just what he's saying, but again, it's a new attitude that needs to go with it. Because if you're just miserable in your spirit, in your Christian life, you think that's what God wants? He wants us to be a people who rejoice and who are thankful and just looking forward to all that he's doing and looking at life and saying, this is passing away, and you've given me a brand new heart on the inside. Thank you, Lord. Well, Paul is writing here, and I guess it would be good to back off and talk about Paul. Let's think about who's writing this. This is a guy who has been in prison for years. This is a guy who has been beaten many times. And I mean, they stripped him down and tied him up and just took rods and beat him to the point where he was bloody. Many times, this is the price he paid for what he did, for serving the Lord. He was in danger from robbers. There was one time they took him out in the streets of the city and stoned him. And it looked like he was dead. And so they dragged his body out of the town and left him and walked away thinking, Paul, that's it, we're done, Paul's dead. Well, the Lord wasn't through with him, and so Paul got up and went back in with some of the disciples, and then they sent him off to the next town. Now, a lot of us would say, yeah, I'm done. that's enough. It's time for me to retire, somebody else to take over. But Paul faced all those kinds of things and so much more. And yet he's the one writing to these believers out of that kind of an experience. How do you think he felt about those things? Well, we know in one place they put him in the was it Paul and Silas they put in the prison? Chained them up. So what did they do at midnight? They had a praise and worship service right there in the... They couldn't even raise their hands. Their hands were all chained up, but they had a praise service, and I'll tell you, the Lord just intervened in that case, didn't he? But I imagine there were other times he praised the Lord and nothing special happened. God has a timetable and a schedule for everything. Does he know what he's doing? Is he worth trusting with every issue of our lives? Then if all of that is true and he loves us and he has incredible plans for us, why do we fuss? You see where the Lord's, this is part of what the Lord's working on, isn't he? I believe he wants us to enjoy our relationship with each other and with him. And I want to do it more than I have. I'm sure every one of us here needs a new attitude in some area. Not one of us. So anyway, Paul in verse 4 of chapter 4 begins, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And were you rejoicing when they were stoning you? Were you rejoicing when this happened, when they were beating you? You've been in prison for years wondering, what's going to happen? How's this work going to work out? No, I'm rejoicing because I'm in the Lord's hands and I'm here. He's given me opportunities. My mind is not on me and what's happening to me. That's not what it's about, because I'm looking. I understand that he has to deal with things in me, and that this is all passing. My eye is not on what's happening to me. My eye is on what's ahead and what he's accomplishing to get me ready for that. That's the only thing that really matters in the end. See, Paul wasn't writing as somebody who just learned this in seminary because the professor said so. And then he stepped out and said, here's how it's supposed to work. And this is the guy who had been there, done that, and really, as we say, got the T-shirt. Rejoice in the Lord always. 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 There isn't a person here who does that, is there? We got some room for saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord tells me where I get it from. It's going to have to come from him a lot of times, because I'm going to have to say no to how I feel and choose to rejoice. And I'm not even going to wait for the emotion or worry if it doesn't come. Lord, thank you. I will say it again, rejoice. You see, Paul understood. Hey, some of these things you have to say more than once because people don't quite get it. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And this is the scripture that is used so many times. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Aha! Could have left that one out. I just need to do the right thing. Just leave my feelings alone. I don't like this. Lord, fix my situation, but I'm going to pout because I don't like how this is working out. But yet there's a sense that here's Paul in prison. Years. And not only that, Paul is in a situation where the devil certainly had all kinds of ammunition to go at his mind with. What's going to happen? I'm here in Rome. I'm waiting to go before Caesar. I don't know how that's going to work out. Lord, help me. I don't know what's going to happen, Lord. And he's just sitting there fearfully thinking about what might happen and how can I fix it? What can I do? Who could I contact? There's a gazillion ways your mind could go. And here's Paul in that circumstance of life that you and I have never faced, telling us, don't be anxious about anything. Now, that doesn't mean you don't experience the emotion of anxiety, but it means you don't live there. You don't learn to live with this, I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm fearful about it, and I got to fix it. I got to do something. Oh, God. Paul had learned a lot of things. And one of the things he learned was that's not how God wants us to live. He wants us to live with a sense that in every situation, we can go to him. Prayer is just the general communication with him. We need to talk to him and listen. Supplication is, now I'm asking for something specific. There's a particular need, and I need help. I need him to tell me what to do and give me strength or give me whatever. I need to learn what his purpose in this is. Is it fix the situation or give me strength to go through or whatever? Lord, it's in your hands. I need a word from you. I need you to help me. But then he has to throw this in there. Do all that with thanksgiving. You mean I got to thank him for all this? He let that happen and I've got to be thankful about it? You got to be kidding me. But do you see where the new attitude needs to come in? If we are looking at things from a human point of view, we're going to go through our lives miserable. We're going to go through our lives constantly complaining to God, why did you do this? Why did you do that? God knows why. And I'll tell you, we're going to get on the other side of that thing and look, be able to look back if we got any understanding at all and say, oh, now I get it. I see that where that thing was in control of my life and you loved me enough to do something about it, even though it was difficult. Thank you, Lord. But wouldn't it be good to have enough faith that has to come from him, remember, to have enough faith to be able to say, thank you, Lord, in the middle of it. In other words, there comes a point where we come to him, we pray, we ask about the situation, and then we hand it off to him. Then I'm not sitting there worrying about it. You know, you've probably heard many times the story about the bishop, I think it was in this particular story, who was just, oh, he was up in the middle of the night, early morning hours, just wrestling. There was a need, there was a problem, there was a situation, and he's struggling. What am I going to do? Oh, God, how is this going to work out? And finally, somehow, the Lord spoke to him and said, listen, you go on to bed and get some rest. I'll sit up the rest of the night and worry. Well, if we would learn that we can literally hand off these things to the Lord, and he really does take them, even though we don't have the emotion that goes with it, or we don't see something, life is a lot easier. So there's a thankfulness that I can hand this off to you. You know, my dad used to have an illustration that he would use. He would talk about, well, he'd talk about salvation, or he'd talk about something like this, and said, here I am, I'm struggling, the weight of this thing is on me. What am I do about it? And the Lord says, hand it over to me, and I will bear the burden, and I'll handle it. Now look at my situation. That's changed a bit, hasn't it? It's just such a simple illustration. We don't do that. We say, Lord, let me tell you about it, but I'm going to keep worrying. That's how we do it most of the time. But what Paul wants us to do is the same thing that Peter says later, I believe, casting your burden, committing your burden, casting your burden upon him.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.